Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
Here's Edelman, broken up, and the pass is no sign yet. Edelman comes down with a football, and they're saying it's a catch. Handoff. Touchdown, James White. And now the biggest two-point attempt in the history of the Patriots franchise. Great job, and here we are, the two-point play. This is it. Time left. Even if it is time for Atlanta. That's Amendola. Flag is down. Amendola's in. This is a tie game.
James White will set behind Brady. Will move under center. Trips to the right. Bennett to tight end left. Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led by the greatest quarterback.
Look at Brady.
In Super Bowl and NFL annals.
One more ring.
James.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of times that you get events like that, especially the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, where they don't quite live up to the billing. That game last night lived up to everything. Greatest comeback, greatest game, greatest playoff game. It's all debatable. And we'll talk about that, all that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. And to me, that's the exact reason why midway through any contest, any timed event, you never leave. I should have learned that in the 2014 wild card game. I should have learned that yesterday, but unfortunately, after the Falcons got that big touchdown, their only touchdown in the third quarter, I left the Super Bowl party I was at and headed home. And then, believe it or not, 2 minutes are left on the game, and the Patriots are driving down the field to tie it. So we're certainly going to spend a lot of time today talking about the Pats' big win. It's Brady's fifth Super Bowl ring, and it was simply an incredible game. And I know someone who the party is probably still going on at his residence right now. He's probably listening to those plays on loop over and over and over again. It's not only the host of this show, he's also the host of Magic Live on Fox Sports Florida. His name is Dante Marcatelli. And Dante, at what point last night were you about ready to throw your remote through your TV?
Right up until the start of the fourth quarter, I would say. Was that incredible or what? I don't know that it's even sunk in yet. What all happened? I mean, that is just, I know it's Magic Drive Time. We talk Magic. We do 140 Magic Drive Time shows. So we're going to veer off the path a little bit, veer off the script and talk a little football, because I think it warranted, we're on a sports station. And that was, I think, the greatest football game, the greatest ending to a football game. I don't care, Super Bowl or not, that you're ever going to have. Just to come back down 25 points all the way back, and it was frustrating. The entire first half, I'm sitting there with my dad, my wife, we had a couple people over, and we're sitting there and say they picked the wrong day to have their worst game that they probably have ever had. They just picked the not mad, you're disappointed, you're upset and all that, but it's like, you know what, he's given us so much joy, and we've watched him lead us to 4 Super Bowls, and there's nothing wrong with being 4-3 and 7 Super Bowls. And you think he just picked the wrong day to have an off day. That's it. And then the third quarter, signs of life, you get the ball back, but then you do nothing with it. Can't catch it, can't throw it. And even at the end of the third quarter, you're not really showing any signs of life. About a 25-point comeback, it's all said and done. And you're really, until the two-point conversion was converted, was when I first thought, my goodness, we can really win this thing. Because even coming back, you get the second touchdown, and you still got to convert the second two-point. I mean, all the things that had to happen to set up an overtime drive, it just was incredible, and it's something I don't think we'll ever see again.
And it's probably a game that I think 30 or 40 years from now we're going to be talking about that's still probably the greatest game ever played in NFL history. I mean, think about it, Dante. You had probably Tom Brady now, if he wasn't in the conversation as the top quarterback of all time, is probably solidly right there. And you look at what their percentage points were to be able to win
there.
This
no,
game.
There's no conversation anymore.
He's straight there now in your mind. But they had a 99.8% chance of losing midway through the third quarter, Dante. It was like 2 in 1,000 chances to actually pull that game off. It was simply, I've never seen anything like it, and you can't take that away from them.
Is that what it was? We were trying to find the probability of them winning when they were down. I know it had never been done before, and teams were 93-0 when they had a 10-point lead or whatever it was. It had never been done. And 19 minutes left, you're down by 25. And it's every you look back at it, because as soon as the game ended, I had it all on DVR. We watched all the celebration and then went back and watched the entire fourth quarter and overtime again just to see. But everything had to happen. The catch by Edelman had to happen. The sack had to happen. I mean, what Atlanta is doing by not running the ball three times and kicking a field goal to make it an 11-point game with 3 minutes left is beyond me.
Exactly.
It's absolutely beyond me. Why Seattle throws on first or second down and Malcolm Butler makes the interception. I mean, so it had to be exactly the plays that happened on both sides for that to go down the way it did. But so I'm obviously biased. I'm a huge Patriots supporter. I'm still very quiet as all this is happening. I'm thinking, all right, big deal. You score the first touchdown, 2-point conversion. You still got to stop them. You still got to get another touchdown and 2-point conversion. So obviously just lost my mind when they got the second 2-point conversion. Then you win the coin toss and all that. And, you know, people are upset saying, well, the coin toss and overtime, it shouldn't have gone that way. You had a 25-point lead with 19 minutes to go. There are other things that cost you the game than the coin toss. So that's my first thought. But I'm biased. You objectively, I mean, you unbiased. You're looking at it completely objectively. What are you thinking as this comeback is unfolding?
Well, to me, it wasn't going to happen. You know, I was at a Super Bowl party. I was at over one Dan Savage's place. And once the Falcons scored that final touchdown that they got in the third quarter, I think it put them up 28-3 at that time. I'm thinking this game's over. There's no way that they're going to go on to score the final 31 points of that contest and outscore them 19-0 in the fourth quarter, because I just didn't think feasibly that the Falcons could be that careless with the football. You know, Dante, I looked up something and I thought this was incredibly interesting, and it kind of told the fact of how this game unfolded. But when you look at defensively how many plays the Falcons defense was on the field during that game, by the time the fourth quarter came around, they were just gassed. You remember them in the first half just running out and trying to put so much pressure on Brady. That didn't happen in the final 15 minutes.
No, it's a great point. I think that's one thing that I don't know if it was Brady or I think it was Brady that made that point that, you know, in the 30 minutes in the first half, even though the Patriots only came away with 3 points and were trailing 21-3, they had the ball for 20 minutes. 20 minutes of that 30 minutes in the first half, and then really the entire fourth quarter. So I think started to wear them down a little bit at halftime. And then, you know, when the third quarter started, they said it had been an hour and 9 minutes until Matt Ryan last had the football between the halftime celebration, you know, the halftime act. They got their – they scored on a pick six. You know, there was a number of things to keep them off the field. So that obviously got them out of a rhythm. You could see that. I mean, that kind of took them out of their elements a little bit too. Never thought once they got to 28 points that they were never going to score again. I mean, but it's mind-blowing to sit here and look at everything happening the way it did and to go down the way it did. But I think they were completely gassed in that fourth quarter. They had nothing left, and Tom Brady finally found his rhythm at the right time. So it's just a roller coaster of emotions. But somewhere in there, in the excitement, the running around the house, picking my wife up and almost dropping her through the coffee table, I think through all that celebration, you sit there and, man, your heart breaks for Falcons fans. It really does. I will say that. And to think you have that thing won, and you should have won the football game. You should have had a Super Bowl. You should have second championship in a 168 professional seasons in Atlanta. I'm sure their hearts are broken, and obviously they're really hurting today. But man, that was, for Patriots fans, that was incredible. And you know what's interesting too, Aaron? We say we're not superstitious. People don't believe in superstitions. I was texting back and forth with people in the first half, and you're feeling like, all right, this is probably, and some people are getting on you saying, wow, this is already over. And so part of it was I just didn't want to deal with that. So I didn't even look at my phone anymore. But I also took my jersey off and I took my hat off.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm 40 years old and I had a jersey on. But that was my prep. My daughters had their shirts on. Everybody had their Patriots stuff on. I took it off. I said, I got to do something to give them some mojo. Didn't even look at my phone. My friends are calling me in the fourth quarter after we tied it. I'm not even going to answer it because I don't want to jinx anything. Found out later, a lot of my friends had their phones off. Some didn't even watch the game because they found out we were coming back while the game was off. Is it not amazing the lengths we will go to as fans? Obviously, none of that had anything to do with the outcome of the game. I'm sure you did it with your Royals. I'm sure Matt did it with his Cavaliers. The lengths we will go to as fans because we think we're giving our team an edge. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It was in 2014 when the Royals got down 8 runs in that wild card game against the Oakland Athletics, and I had turned the TV off. I had gone to bed. I woke up in the top of the 9th inning, and I realized that the Royals were within 1 game. I refused to watch the rest of that baseball game. And it goes to 12 innings, and I don't get to see any of it. But at the same time, I thought, if I turn that TV on, they're not going to win this baseball game. And so I know
it's
exactly how you feel.
Yeah, it's my fault. Matt, did you? I don't know if Matt, if he's on mic, but did he have a? I'm sure you had a similar scenario in the Cavs series.
Well, the Cavs series was unbelievable. After we went down 3-1, Dante, I mean, what are you thinking? No team has ever come back from that. Even with LeBron James, you're thinking to yourself, this has to be over. And they found a way to get it done. I can imagine what you're feeling like this morning.
And Dante,
it was amazing. And I lived it. I did live it with the Red Sox down 3-1 and come. Or, I'm sorry, 3-0.
Yeah.
Come back and win that. But this is. It's why we watch sports, isn't it? Like we all, you know, for those of us that are married or in relationships and our significant other is like, you're up till 11 o'clock watching a meaningless game, the Clippers and the Pistons, whatever. It doesn't matter. Football game. We watch because something might happen that we've never seen before. We might see a no hitter in baseball. We might see a guy put up 50 in a basketball game. I mean, those things have happened before, but you might see something historic. What we saw last night had never been done, and that's—I just think it's even if you're not a Patriots fan or even a football fan, I think you can appreciate that.
And Dante, the crazy thing to me is, you know, how many times in Super Bowls do we get big catches like the one that was made by Edelman? That catch,
right.
That might go down as the greatest catch of all time in NFL history. To be there with 3 guys on him, and the way that Brady never throws a pass like that in triple coverage, the ball bounces out of his hands, and he essentially just scoops it up right before it hits the turf. That's got to be one of the biggest moments right now in New England sports history, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's right there. There's no question. The Dave Roberts steal is always going to be up there, and there's big plays that are going to be a part of that. The drive that Tom Brady had in the first Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler's interception. But that when it happened in real time, you see the ball kind of bounce around, and you think that it did maybe bounce off a leg, and he might have caught it. But it appeared it hit the ground, and you're thinking there's no way. But when you see it in slow motion, and you see how many things it hit and how many times Edelman's hands came completely off the ball and then back on it. And his concentration and focus and how he stared into that thing and actually hauled it in. And the fact that they wasted a timeout reviewing that, I think, was huge. They could have kept that timeout for the final minute when they got the ball back and make their drive down the field. But for that to happen the way, to me, I still think David Tyree's catch is better. I really do, for the simple fact that degree of difficulty. Jumping in the air, that thing just sticking onto his helmet, landing flat on his back and holding on to it, and they go on to win the Super Bowl against us, even though that was backbreaking. I still think that was better. But still, Edelman, I mean, it was for all those things to happen, his concentration was incredible. But I just wonder now, Aaron, and there's so many people that hate Brady and hate the Patriots, and I get it. I hated the Cowboys and the Niners and the Redskins when they were on top. But even I would think the biggest Brady hate things that people that think he won because of deflated footballs, people that think that he won because of Spygate, people that think he won because of the Tuck Rule. I mean, there's haters out there that'll cling on to all of those things. You have to agree. This team was the most scrutinized in NFL history, given everything that they went through. You have to think they were watching their every step. They took away the quarterback for four games. They took money away. They took a draft pick. They've been under a microscope the entire year. I would think even somewhere, maybe even if it's one or two people, have to look at it and say, wow, I will give Brady credit. That was an incredible finish to that story. And yeah, you know what? Maybe he is the best to ever play the game. Do you think there's anybody, even the biggest hater out there, that might even give him some credit?
Oh, you have to today, Dante. You know, I'm not a Pats fan by any means because I've been upset that you guys have just ran roughshod over the AFC really since, what, 03, his first year, and no one's really had an opportunity. But you have to appreciate everything that he did. I mean, those final 15 minutes in the fourth quarter, that Patriots team played a spectacular 15 minutes. You couldn't do it better. Yeah, they needed bounces, But the way that he's poised in the pocket, the way that he essentially doesn't sweat under pressure, it's incredible, and you cannot take any of that away from him.
No, you can't. And I just think, and he wasn't anything like that. I mean, he looked like the worst quarterback that ever played in the first 2.5 quarters. He really did. Overthrowing guys, forcing it into bad coverage, throws the pick six. He was making mistake after mistake, and he looked defeated. He looked deflated. He looked disappointed. I mean, it just looked like he didn't have it. And I could see that. I just had a bad feeling all day. And I think Pat fans, even though they don't want to admit it, will deep down think this game meant so much to him because of the Roger Goodell stuff, because of everything that he had been through. Now here he is to prove everybody wrong. And it meant too much to him. And I think he was starting to crumble under the pressure. It just, now he's finally having a chance to realize it. And then they're down 14-0, and then they're down 21-3, and it's all going to be on his shoulders. But so I just thought it was, and it would be understandable. Everything that he went through, he just couldn't quite pull it off. But in that point, but you know what? As much as we talk about him, if it's not for James White in his 14 catches, if it's not for the Edelman catch, if it's not for two converted two-point conversions, if it's not for a holding penalty, if it's not for a sack, if it's not for a strip sack, if it's not for a pass interference on the 1 yard line, literally every single one of those things had to happen. And I don't know, Patriots fans that are listening just can't get enough of it. We'll watch every highlight and every interview for the next month as far as this goes. And you know, your heart breaks for Falcons fans because they were that close. And people that hate the Patriots are thinking, I got to listen to this forever.
it's a good point. I actually want to talk about that when we return here. We do have to duck in a quick break, but when we return, we'll talk about the impact that James White had. We'll also talk about maybe a commercial that Tom Brady shot back in September. It's incredible. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
Introducing an all-new Orlando Magic Fast Break Pass. The Papa John's buzzer beater. Sign up online, get texts, and buy last-minute Magic tickets at the best prices, all from your smartphone, all season long.
Blocked by Vucevic, big right hand, said nope, knocked it away from him, never got to the rim.
It's easy, it's free, it's pure magic. The Papa John's buzzer beater, the best pass for Orlando Magic basketball. Sign up now at orlandomagic.com/buzzerbeater.
Tom?
Hi.
Would you please remove all jewelry and place it in the locker?
Oh, yeah. Sure, no problem.
Tom Brady Trust Shields MRI. You can, too.
That all?
Actually, no.
I forgot this one. It's kind of new.
We're going to need to get you a bigger locker.
Roger that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Patriots win the Super Bowl yesterday. You know the crazy thing about that commercial, Dante? He shot that during his 4-game suspension on September 19th and had that alternate ending. Now, that's a commercial that's ran for probably the last 6 months in New England, but they altered it and put in that ending yesterday. And that kind of just speaks to the confidence that Tom Brady had in this season coming off that suspension, isn't it?
I think that's fantastic. I mean, why not have some fun with it? If they don't win, then no one knows that that was ever even made. But it does show that the Roger Goodell stuff did get to him. It's the side of Brady that we never see. You know, none of them break beer from the script and break away from the Patriot way. But, Robert Kraft took a nice little dig last night, which was fantastic. But they handled it with class. You know, none of them like Roger Goodell. They can't stand him, and they feel vilified for the witch hunt that happened for the last 16 months. But to see little subtle things like that come out, I think is fantastic. The Roger that was tremendous. I thought that was great. And you know what? I know we joked around with Schott and Kravitz couple of days ago, and I wanted Brady to not even accept the MVP trophy from him, and whoa, boy, what an awkward exchange that ended up being last night anyway. But he did it the right way, and he did it the way he should have, and we shouldn't be surprised that he handled it with class, and Bill Belichick as well. That's some kind of moxie, isn't it, putting a commercial like that together?
Oh, it was simply fantastic. When I saw it, I couldn't believe that he actually had the confidence in himself to shoot that at the same time. But believe it or not, we do have to talk about some other stuff on today's show. Matt, hit the hoop scoop.
As part of our obligation to you, the fan, we've spent countless minutes scouring the internet today to bring you the hottest NBA topics. This is Hoop Scoop.
Okay, guys, a great game last night. We talked about it a little bit, but last but not least, oh, I'm sorry. It's not totally basketball related, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention the year that was in sports. The Cavs comeback, Villanova's buzzer beater, Clemson's walk-off, Game 7 of the World Series, and then last night. What was your favorite championship moment this year?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Dante. To me, it had to be yesterday. You know, we've had some great championship games this year, but none of them had the comeback that that game had last night, right?
Boy, that is a great question. And those are all, as you're rattling those off, I'm thinking, that's right. We had that. That's absolutely incredible. What a great year in sports. And I think as fans, we can appreciate greatness. We can appreciate tremendous moments and things that happen once in our lifetime that we'll never see again. But I may be biased, but what happened last night, because we've never seen that before. All the other things we've seen before, but last night was something that had never happened in the history of football. So to me, that would be number one.
Okay, next up, the Patriots to the NFL are what the San Antonio Spurs are to the NBA. Which dynasty has been more impressive to you over the last 15 years, guys?
To me, it has to be the Patriots. Look, if you get three guys that can play together and they can play at an all-star level in the NBA, you can have some success and you can do it over time. Now, granted, they've done it over 20-plus seasons of making the playoffs. But to me, everything that Bill Belichick has to do, the personnel that he brings in and out on a daily basis. I mean, you look at the receivers that Tom Brady has had to throw to over the years, and Dante, to me, they are by far the better dynasty than the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, I think it's exactly the same. What they both have five titles, right? I think it's exactly the same, and I think the common denominator also is you had a superstar in either system that allowed the coach to treat him exactly the same as he did the 15th player on the bench or the 53rd player on the field. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick will yell at Tom Brady just like Greg Popovich did at Tim Duncan. And I think that is lost in sports. With the egos that we have now and we have to coddle everybody and we have to be PC and this and that. No, we're here to win. And you are no different than the last guy on the bench. And the people that don't understand that, shame on them. And I think everybody can buy in and your superstar can be treated like the last guy on the bench, you win. You win championships if you have the talent, obviously, but the proof is in the pudding. And I love that example for both organizations.
Okay, last but not least, Dante, we're going to make our way back to basketball, but we're going to stick with your Boston love. Paul Pierce returned to Boston for the last time yesterday, and after the game, he met up with Isaiah Thomas in the tunnel and told him, keep holding it down. As a Boston sports fan, Isaiah Thomas going to be the next Paul Pierce for Celtics fans?
Dante, we got 30 seconds, so I'm letting you take this one all the way.
I tell you what, he could be. He's already done things Paul Pierce never did. Is that amazing? What this guy does in the fourth quarter, he's done things that only John Havlicek has done. He's done things Larry Bird, Kevin McHale haven't done. It's unbelievable. Isaiah Thomas is there. I hope he stays. I hope they bring him back next year. I hope he gets the mega contract, and I hope he continues to have success there, unless, of course, it ever comes at the expense of the Orlando Magic. But, I think he's certainly done a great job to pick up the torch, let's say that, from the great Paul Pierce.
Man, The Vertical had a fantastic piece on Isaiah Thomas the other day. Go check it out. Not to pub another website, but it was great. It was all of his struggles since his day.
Classy move by Doc Rivers last night. Classy, classy move.
Oh, yeah, starting Paul Pierce. I love the truth, and I'm going to miss him. This has been a great edition of Magic Drive Time. Dante, safe travels to Houston today. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my man.
I'll pick you up some Patriots swag.
Sounds good. We're back tomorrow. Magic play at the Houston Rockets. It's 8 o'clock tip time. We get started at 5:30 here on Magic Drive Time. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back tomorrow.